Okay, good afternoon. This is our final afternoon kollel session for the season, from what I understand. The summer kollel will begin mid-June, and there are many, many shiurim that you can take advantage of throughout even the summer months, but the kollel will be on Bein HaZmanim, an extended hiatus. I want to take the opportunity in this last session to thank Froelich Financial Group, as we do every week, for sponsoring the afternoon kollel. It's a great point of pride that we expanded to 3 afternoons a week, and so many of you come for learning, in addition to so many of the other shiurim and classes that happen in our community. So I want to express our gratitude to my dear friend Avi Froelich and his family, who for several years in a row now have supported this afternoon kollel and the learning that happens therein. Also, as always, a big thank you to our Rosh Beis Medrash, to Rabbi Simi Shabtai, does an amazing job with our high-level learning, our Beis Medrash, our Women's Midrashah. And this week's learning is sponsored by Arnold Goldstein in memory of Althea Goldstein, Alta Shulamez Baz Baruch Shaul Halevi, whose neshama should have an aliyah. Okay, our subject for this last session is an interesting halachic question, which, while it sounds like it doesn't have modern-day applications, really has many, many contemporary examples that apply to us. It's based on a pasuk in Dvarim, source number 1. The Torah tells us, "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem." We are to see ourselves, we are to feel, we are. It's not that we're supposed to see ourselves or feel. We are children of Hashem. We should make sure to feel what we are. "Banim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, lo sisgodudu v'lo sasimu kacha b'neinechem l'meis." Don't cut yourself and don't make a bald spot between your eyes for a dead person. Now, neither of those activities would likely occur to us to do. No matter how bereaved, no matter how aggrieved we are, it's unlikely we'd be tempted to mutilate ourselves or to cause any more baldness than we're already suffering from. So why does the pasuk have to warn us not to engage in this behavior? Because in biblical times and antiquity, a person who would grieve, would mourn, and would mourn so excessively, would seek some release for that pain, would want to find some way to get rid of that pain. And tragically, we see a modern-day application of this. People who struggle with mental illness, people with depression, anxiety, suicidal ideations, often will cut themselves. Why do they cut themselves? Because they're enduring such an unbearable emotional pain that has no outlet and that can't be specified to one location. By cutting themselves and transferring it to a physical pain, somehow, for the person in mental anguish or depression, that provides a sense of an outlet. Mental health professionals will tell them, first of all, they need treatment to heal and support and love, but in the interim, if they feel overwhelmed by that need, so there's a suggestion in the mental health world, they should hold ice cubes. Ice cubes will give the sensation they're burning through the palm of your hand, but they don't cause the kind of damage that, God forbid, someone cutting themselves could do. So I'm not trying to give a suggestion, but God forbid you'd ever know anyone going through this, that is the suggestion. So the Torah here warns us, if a person is mourning, they're grieving, they've experienced a terrible loss, nevertheless, lo siskodudu, don't cut yourself, don't carve yourself. The Gemara in Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel, source number 2, tells us a different interpretation of this pasuk. Tana Nasam, we learn in the Mishnah elsewhere, Megillah Nikris b'Acharasar, b'Shneimasar, b'Shloshasar, b'Abasar, b'Chamishasar. The Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Megillah tells us the different days on which the Megillah could be read. Lo pachos v'lo yoser, not earlier, not later. Amar Yesh Lakish l'Rabbi Yochanan. So Yesh Lakish says to Rabbi Yochanan, Ikrei kan lo siskodudu. What are you talking about? Different places you're going to read the Megillah on different days? It's a violation of Los Godudu, which he interprets to mean Los Asu Agudas Agudos. Don't make an aguda is a faction, a unit, a group. Agudas Yisrael. V'yasu chulam aguda achas. We long to be one aguda, not agudos agudos. We daven on the Yom Noraim. V'yasu lanu aguda achas. Lasos Tzon Avinu Shevashamayim. We want to be one united, one unified, one conglomerate, one entity serving Hashem. Chalila, not the opposite, which is agudos, agudos, to be separate factions. So says the Gemara, one second. Hai losas godudu mi boi le legufei, damarachmana, losasu chabura ames. What do you mean you're interpreting loses go to do agudos agudos? Don't observe things separately and appear like you're divided. You need the pasuk for what the pasuk's simple meaning is, namely losasu chabur alames. Don't cut yourself even in an act of bereavement. Same kain lema kro lo sigo to do my sisko to do shma mina lachiu da asa. We learn from here that the extra suf, lo sis go to do, we learn the additional layer of meaning. So the simple understanding is don't cut yourself in an act of mourning. The additional layer of meaning is don't break up into separate factions who are observing in a different way. So maybe the whole pasuk is teaching me agudas agudas. How do I know it's even teaching me the simple meaning? Imkein lema kara lo sagodu, my lo sisgodu, shma mina tarti. So the Gemara learns from the extra letters in the word that it must be coming to teach me both. There's a simple understanding. The simple level of understanding is don't cut yourself even if you're in terrible emotional pain. The additional layer of interpretation is don't break up into separate factions. And it's the additional, deeper level of interpretation that we're going to study together today. What does it mean, losis go to do? You're sitting right now on a shul campus, Baruch Hashem, Kenai Nahara, that on Shabbos morning has 8 separate minyanim. Each different, they don't just start at different times, and they don't just have different food for their kiddush, they have different nusach, and so on. So the Sfardim are doing one practice, and our Shtibo minyan is doing another practice, and the Beis Medrash minyan, the main minyan, the Ashkava minyan, the teen minyan, the explanatory minyan, the every minyan's got its own minhagim and its own observances. On a yontif, this one reads the Megillah, this one omits the Megillah, this one duchens, this one says Anav Zmiras, they leave out Anav Zmiras. This one, they seem like insignificant. But how is it we're not in violation of losis kodadu? What happened to this prohibition of agudas agudos? You can't have separate interpretations. And we'll see among the examples we're going to analyze together. Chol HaMoed, this one's wearing tefillin, that one's not wearing tefillin. This one stands Kriyas HaTorah, that one sits Kriyas HaTorah. This one eats of that Hechsher, this one doesn't eat of that Hechsher. This one holds of the Erev, that one doesn't hold of the Erev. Isn't that the exact prohibition of Agudos Agudos? That we have such separate behaviors and practices and observances that we appear as if we're agudas agudas. We appear like we are multiple religions. Isn't that the prohibition? The Gemara Yevamos, on the next daf, elaborates or expands on the nature of this prohibition. And the Gemara says the following, Amar Abaye, in the second paragraph, Amar Abaye ki aminu losis godu de kon shtei batei dinim bi'ir achas. When is one liable to violate losis godu do? If you have two batei din in one town, so if you have two batei din in one town, you have two shuls on each side of the street. As a community I spoke at once in the United States of America, I won't mention which, it's not here in South Florida, where on one block, there's like 4 or 5 shuls in a row. One across the street and 3 in a row. And if they would simply forget the agudas agudas, don't forget it, but forget los is good to do, just the resources that are wasted, if they would combine to be one shul, you could have your separate minyana, meet your needs, be one community. So here, Abai is of the opinion that when do you violate losis go to do? If you have two batei din in one city, but avash shtei batei din and b'shtei ayaros leslan ba, if Boca and Hollywood have different minhagim, if Teaneck and the 5 towns have different minhagim, if LA and San Francisco have different minhagim, that's not losis go to do. Within one city to have different batei din, different authorities, who are endorsing different practices, says Abaye, that's the problem. The problem is when you have a city that's divided. But when you have two cities that have developed their own practices, that's not a problem of losis go to do. Amalei Rava, Rava says to him, Abaye Shammai, Abaye Sila, Kishrei Batei Din, Abir Achaz Dami. A dispute between Abaye Shammai and Abaye Sila is like a dispute between two courts. So Ela Amalei Rava, Ki Aminu Losis Go to do, but Beis Din Beir Achaz. Plag more in Kedivre Beis Shammai, you plag more in Kedivre Beis Sila. Rava says, no, even within one city, you're entitled to have different opinions. Right? I'm not going to tell you the world's oldest bad joke about the Jews on the island and how many shuls, the one I go at, the one I would never step foot in. But we know every Jewish city has more than one shul, the one you go to, the one you'd never go to. And within one city, it's perfectly understandable and permissible to develop two different practices. When is it a problem? Like in our shul, where you have one shul, one Beis Din, half doing it this way and half doing it that way, that's when you run into a problem according to Rava. So fundamental machlokas, Rava and Abaye, about when do you violate losis godadu? Only if it's two batei din, only if it's two batei din in one city but two separate cities, you're okay. Or even two batei din in one city is okay, only if it's two different practices within one Beis Din. How should we paskin? Like Abaye or Rava? Machlokas Abaye halacha ke, Abaye v'Rava halacha ke, with the exception of Yal Kigam. Is this one of the Yal Kigam? No. I'll help you out there. No. We'll come back to in a moment how we paskin. But before we get to that, let me ask a more fundamental question. What is the relationship between the two layers of interpretation? Is there any connection? They simply arbitrary? Do they overlap? Are they working in parallel? Or is there a connection between the two? Losis godadu, don't cut yourself if someone dies. Losis godadu, don't be agudos agudos. Is the don't cut yourself to grieve and not to be in factions divided, is there a common theme to those two interpretations? Or are the two interpretations entirely separate and isolated from one another? What, say it again?
Cutting the person himself.
Yeah.
Cutting the kahila into two, it's cutting.
Oh, okay, good. So maybe one layer interpretation that combines the two is, whether you're cutting yourself or you're cutting the kahila in two, don't cut things you shouldn't be cutting. Okay. We're going to look at the Maharal and the Shem Yishmuel, each offer their interpretation. The great Maharal, Rabbi Yehuda Lohi of Prague, source 4, the Maharal says, V'im tomar mayin yizel azeh, sholayasu agudos v'lo yizgo to do. What is the connection between the two? Don't cut yourself and don't divide the community. We don't find multiple layers of interpretation where there's no relationship. Of course it has to be connected. So what is the connection? A human being is one united entity. We are one organic whole. And if we cut ourselves, we're trying to cut something off from ourselves. We're trying to disengage from it or disassociate from it. Meanwhile, if you cut a part of your body, your whole body hurts. The right arm doesn't say, well, it's the left arm that's injured. I don't care about it. If the left arm is injured, the right arm hurts. We are one organic body. We are one whole. Similarly, Klal Yisrael, the Tzibur, the Kahal, should be one organic whole. And when one half is doing this way and half is doing that way, they've cut themselves off from the other. They're seeking to divide or disassociate. It's similarly the same problem. So the idea, the deeper meaning that connects the two interpretations is that something which is supposed to be one and whole, don't break it up and make it divided. Whether it's we the human being, if we cut part of us, the other part hurts. And similarly, Klal Yisrael, the community, don't divide half from the other half, we should hurt. V'hikshar Ramban, he gets into a deeper meaning here. So the Maharal's understanding of the connection between the two is something which should be whole, something which should be a unit. Don't break it up into two. The Shem Yishmuel, the Sochet Shav Rebbe.
His bonim atem l'Hashem.
Oh.
I didn't say in the singular, one second. Because, you know, people are different. It's not one, every
bonim. We don't have to be uniform.
It's not the same as the other one.
Right.
So obviously you have division, but you know, as a whole,
beautiful. It's a perfect segue to the Shem Yishmuel. Shem Yishmuel, source 5, the Sochet Shav Rebbe, Shmuel Bornstein, says the following, the only son of the Avnei Nezer. Bonamatem l'Hashem l'okechem, losis godudu, v'losimu korcha b'ninechem l'meis, v'shas yivam, as we learn, v'yesh lovim ma inyin zeim bonamatem l'Hashem l'okechem, v'im lo tasimu korcha b'ninechem l'meis. He asks differently than the Maharal, not what unifies the multiple interpretations of losis godudu, but what connects the prohibition of losis godudu to the rest of the pasuk? The fact that you're the children of Hashem. V'hinei kashehu b'b'chinis eved adayin shayach machlokas. Shkol echad nimshach achar shorish nishmaso. V'akshu b'b'chinis ben u'batom m'mahuso k'malach shuv ein shayach es machlokas. So if you have the status of a slave, every slave's out for themselves. Every slave is fighting to survive. Every slave is following their own opinion, their own intuition. But we are children to one father, then there's one family, there's one minhag, there's one practice, there's one observance. Says the Shem Yishmor the following. Why should you not cut yourself? The Ramban really says this. The Ramban says, what's the connection between Banam Atem Hashem Elokeichem and don't cut yourself? Why would someone grieve excessively? Because they think this world is all there is. And when their loved one expires, when their loved one leaves this world, they feel, I'm done, I'll never see them again. Our souls are severed. We'll never connect again. And that grief is so excessive, it's so deep, it's so profound, they go overboard in even cutting themselves in order to try to relieve that pain. Says the Ramban, only a person thinks that way when they think that this world is all there is. But if you live life with the attitude and mentality that Banam Atem LaShem Elokeichem, we're the children of Hashem. We are the offspring of Hashem. This isn't the world that that's all there is. There's a world to come. Our neshama has immortality of the soul. We live forever. We'll be reunited with our loved ones. Are we sad when we lose them? Absolutely. We lack that physical contact, that physical connection. We're sad. But we can't grieve excessively as if we'll never be reunited with them. We will be reunited with them because we believe Banam Atem LaShem Elokeichem. So says the Shem Yishmuel that both layers interpretation of Losis Godudu connect to Banam Atem. Don't cut yourself because you shouldn't grieve excessively because we believe in an Abishter and an afterlife. And don't be divided and fractured. Why? Because we're not slaves. We're children. And one family has to display, has to act with a certain sense of an attitude of unity.
Does the same apply to your teacher, your brother?
Yeah, you shouldn't be excessive in your grieving. As sad as you are, we realize that we will be reunited. Banam Atem LaShem Elokeichem. We are the children of Hashem. Okay, so far we've seen there's a pasuk, there's two layers of interpretation. It's a machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and there's a machlokas, Abaye and Rava. What do the multiple layers of interpretation have to do with each other? We saw the Maharal and the Shem Yishmuel. What's the reason for the prohibition of Losis Godudu? So Chazal interpreted agudos, agudos. Don't look like you have multiple practices. Why not? What's the problem? Individuality. Why can't we express our individuality? Every minion, every subgroup. What's the problem with agudos agudos? So Rashi says in source 6, Rashi there on the Gemara, agudos agudos dinire kenoagin beis toros. It looks like you are observing two separate toros. Keshekorin kfarmas the Megillah b'yom knisa v'ayaros gedolos b'yadalad v'mukaf v'chom v'tezvav. Everyone's reading Megillah when it's good for them. Everyone's observing differently. And you end up saying, which is Judaism? Will the real Judaism please stand up? Who has the real authority on Torah? So maybe there's multiple Torahs. Chas v'shalom. One of the core principles of our faith is that we have one Torah and it doesn't change. So if two different communities or within a community, sub-communities would observe differently, it would give the appearance kebeis Torahs, like we have two Torahs. The Rambam, in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, source 7, gives a different reason. He says, Shadavar Zagorim Lamachlokas Gedola. Because of Losas Godo, the Losasu Agudas Agudos. You know what the problem is? Creates Machlokas. Each insists that their way is the right way, their way or the highway. And you end up having a splintering and a fight and breakaways, and it creates and it breeds Machlokas. And of course, we oppose Machlokas. Now the problem is, if you notice the Rambam, how did he paskin? The part that I skipped. How is he paskening? Like Abaye. So ask the Kesef Mishnah, I don't understand. What happened to Yal Kagam? This isn't one of the Yal Kagam. Why is the Rambam paskening like Abaye and not like Rava? Kesef Mishnah gives an answer, and many others give an answer as well. So that is the reason of the Rambam. The Ritva gives an answer, a third answer. It seems to combine the first two. writes the Ritva Mnei Machlokas Shebeneim Lohaya Lamasos Machlokas Ben Yisrael Agudas Agudos the Torah Kishtei Toros. When you have Machlokas and you're observing separately, it looks like you have two Toros, and that's not what we do as part of Klal Yisrael. So three different reasons, really two different reasons. Why is it, and we'll see this in Afkamina, there's an important difference between them. Why is it that you can't have multiple practices? You can't have agudos, agudos. Rashi says it looks like two Torahs. And the Rambam says because it breeds mach locus. How do we paskin? The Rif, the Rosh, Rabbeinu Yeruchim, Meiri, Sefer HaChinuch, Lechemishnah, Shulchan Aruch, all paskin like Rava. It only applies in one Beis Din, not between different cities. Different cities are entitled to be different. Within one Beis Din, they shouldn't be split. Does the prohibition to even a Beis Din within a city, one Beis Din should be split, like Rava?
Two Beis Dins in one city.
Can have different practices. Does it apply to Minhagim? Do we say Agudas Agudas when it comes to a Minhag, or only a Din Doraisa? The prohibition of Losis Godadu, don't have separate observances that either look like two in Torahs or that create Machlokas, is that only true for a biblical law, for a Din Doraisa? Is it also true for a Derabbanan? Is it true for a Minhag?
We're reading in the Megillah, it's not Minhag.
So with Megillah, where there's this discussion, is Derabbanan. Good. But what about a Minhag? Derabbanan, you'll say, Kein Deraisa Tikein. That they establish a Din Derabbanan like Deraisa, but what about a Minhag, which is a step lower? So the Ramban, source 10, Rav Moshe Isserles, Hilchas Pesach Simon Tov Tzadi Gimel, the Ramban says, this is very apropos, the period of Sfira in which we still find ourselves. Some have a minag, says the Shulchan Aruch, to get a haircut on Rosh Chodesh Iyar, but it's a mistake. The Rama says, some observe the second half of Sfira, they get haircuts and shave all the way until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. So if you're observing the second half of Sfira, then you can't get a haircut or shave after Lag BaOmer. If you're going to take haircuts and shave after Lag BaOmer, then you have to observe the first part of Sfira from Pesach on. V'lo yinhagu bi'ir achas miktas minag zeh o miktas minag zeh mishum losis go to do v'kol shekein she'in linok heter b'shtayim. Says the Rama, and be very careful in one community. Half are observing the first half of Sfira. Half are observing the second half of Sfira. Why should you be so careful not to do that? Because it's going to appear like lo sisko to do. Lo sisko to do. So the Ramah cautions, don't have half the community follow. Half the community is scruffy one part of Sfira. The other half the community is scruffy the other part of Sfira. Half the community is making a simcha. The other half the community is making a simcha. Half is listening to music. The other half is listening to music. A community has to be consistent, says the Ramah, because otherwise what? Lo, sisko to do. The observances of Sfira, the Avelis observances of Sfira, are only a minhag. They're not even a din derabanan. And yet, the Ramah is applying the prohibition of lo, sisko to do to the minhag of the morning observances of Sfira. The Magen Avraham, Rav Avraham Gambiner, disagrees in source number 11. And if you look in the second set of underlines, which is in the middle lines. Im kein lamadnu mized the davar she'ino ela minag lo amrina be losis go to do. Uvu davar shu asar avshar mitzad minag shayach losis go to do. Uvu davar shu yishlit lo she'in mischavin l'isra kegor malacha ein ba mishun losis go to do. Im kein gabi tisporus nami yishlam maharo omer she'in ritzon l'sapar atzman bi yishlambar tila maskana b'chol davar shayach losis go to do bebezin achad bi'ir achas. The Magen Avraham disagrees with the Ramban, says losis go to do does not apply to a minag. It doesn't apply to a minag. What are they arguing about? What are the Ramah and the Magen Avraham arguing about? Does Lo Sisko to do apply to a minhag or not? What do you think, based on what we already saw? The Karen Ora and the Meshiv Davar both explain, you know what they're arguing about, the Ramah and the Magen Avraham? What is the reason for the prohibition of Lo Sisko to do? If it's Shelo Nira Kishtei Toros, if the problem is looking like God gave us two Torahs, on a minhag, we're not worried about looking like we have two Torahs. Because everyone knows it's just a minhag. Shem gave us one Torah when it comes to the dinim of the Torah. When it comes to minhag, different minhagim evolved and developed. So we're entitled to have different minhagim. So if the reason is avlos is going to do it so it not appear like we have two Torahs, so the Magen Avraham is right, then it shouldn't apply to a minhag. But if the reason avlos is going to do is like the Rambam, so that we don't have machlokes, you often have more machlokes when it comes to a minhag than when it comes to din d'oraisa. Nobody gets bent out of shape. Nobody throws a chair at somebody else or curses someone else when it comes to the malach of kosher or matir, when it comes to basar b'chalav. That's not when we get all excited. When do we get all excited? You use that tune. We skip that piyut. You said that when it comes to the minag, that's when people get all bent out of shape. So if the reason of losis godud is like the Rambam, that it's to avoid machlokas, losis godud should apply to a minag as well. So the Karen Or and the Mishnah Dover explain, that's the machlokas, the Ramah and the Magen Avraham. What is the reason for the prohibition of lo sis godud? So let's see some modern day applications. Some contemporary examples of potential problems of lo sis godud. The first is davening. What happens with davening? This one's wearing a gartel, this one's wearing a hat. This one's answering, saying Kaddish like a Sephardi, this one's saying it like an Ashkenazi. This one's speaking Sfaradit, and this one's speaking Ashkenazis. This one's doing it with a Hungarian accent, and this one with a Polish accent. So davening is one big cholent pot, one big lo sis godud. One big room of people doing things differently. Is that a prohibition of this biblical law, of this biblical violation of lo sis godud? So what should you do? If you're in a minyan, but he likes to hang out with the Ashkenazim on Shabbos morning. So which amida should he say? Based on the Nesachari or based on the Ashkenazi sitter? How should he answer Kedusha? Should he answer Nekadisha Shimcha Barabim or Nakti Shach? Should he answer Musaf Keser? Or should he say someone saying Kaddish? What should they say? We daven in different minyan, an Ashkenazi daven in the Sephardi minyan, or upstairs in the Shtibel minyan, the Shtibel guy's davening in the Ashkenazi minyan. What's the halacha? The Meshav Dover and Netziv, from the Talmud to Yehuda Berlin, source 12, the Halacha and Netziv addresses this question, and he says the following: Binyan Tfiloshim in the Ashkenaz Mizgorim the Artos Ha'ilu, Shapi Ruba Mispalam Benisach Sephard. He says that most people, the Netziv is buried in Warsaw. The Warsaw Cemetery is buried right next to Reb Chaim. He was the Rosh Hashiva of Volozhin. Volozhin closed under his watch because they were introducing so much secular subjects and denying the right to learn Torah. Exactly what the nature of why it closed, Rabbi J.J. Schachter has written about. He's buried in Warsaw. So he writes, even here among the Bnei Ashkenaz, most are davening Nesach Sfarad. Ashkenaz Tfila. How do I answer Kedusha? Ashkenaz and Sfarad have very different Kedusha. How do you answer Kedusha when you find yourself in a minhag that's doing the opposite? He quotes our Gemara in Yevamos, Losis Godudu, Noagin Kishtei Toros, Machlok is Abaye and Rava, when do we apply it, when do we not apply it? He quotes the Ramah, Ir achas miktas minagzeh is a problem of losis godudu. So how do we do it? What do we do? How do we answer? And he says the following: the left hand column, the three paragraphs up. Lefiza nuchalomar the pluksas abay v'rava gam kim beikar asarazu v'abay yizbar the ikar asaru mishtim shtei toros lekacha filu b'shtei bati dinim beir achas asar mishtim demechzik shtei toros rak b'shtei ayeros lo shayach. Even within the opinion of Abaye, he's assuming it's because it appears like you have two Torahs. When do you avoid the appearance of two Torahs? If it's two separate cities, within the same city, you have a problem. Nimtza l'dvareinu d'psaka ramah, ozo b'das ha-rambam, v'achinuch, d'gam b'minhoga hechash yechshash shinu machlokas, yesh mishum lo sasei, lo saskodudu, v'lo k'das ha-rash. V'lahach dinan shenshalnu adin kachu l'fiyaneiz daiti. D'vitfila b'lachash, ozo l'shanash me'anusach shenogu mikvar. When it comes to your private davening, you should stay consistent with your family's minhag. What you're saying privately and to yourself, everyone agrees, is not a problem of losis godudu. For the Rambam, it won't breed machlokas. Nobody knows what you're mumbling, what you're saying in your head. And according to the problem of looking like two Torahs, it's not a problem because it's just a minhag. So says the Mishav Dover, Paskins the Netziv, and Reb Moshe says similarly, anything you say quietly, keep your minhag, even if you're among others with a different minhag. Anything that you say responsively out loud, you have to say, you have to conform to the tzibur, because to not conform to the tzibur and stand out would be a violation of los eskodidu for either of the reasons. It'll create machlokas, or what kind of davening? People are saying different things, nirin kishtei toros, what's going on over here? The Moshe says similarly, we'll come back in a moment, in source 13:14, Reb Moshe deals with shinui nuschos bein hamispal la tzibur, b'davar echad shemispalo, b'davar echad shemispal beis hakinesh shatzibur mispal minusach echad, mikvi shemispal anachal lani azaitish v'dvarim tzorach adavka b'tzibur, kedusha muchuch lomar nusach shat tzibur. So he disagrees a little bit with the Mishav Davar. He says anything that requires a tzibur to say it, even if you're saying it quietly, you have to conform to the way the tzibur is saying it. But anything that does not require the tzibur to say it, so the Amida, you don't need a tzibur to say, then even if you're saying it quietly, you could say it your own way. The middle column. Hatfila balacha sheyachol lomar kenisa sheyargil sheragil. So your own tefila balachash, you could say your own normal nusach. So these other things that you say, and you tend to not say quietly, you say Pesukei Dezimra, Kriyachas Krishma out loud. On the one hand, you could say them on your own. You don't need the tzibur, so you should be entitled to say it how you want. On the other hand, because you say it out loud, and now you're going to say it differently than where you are, so let's say you're davening Nisach Svard. Everyone's saying Mizmor Shir and Baruch Shamar, but you're going to start from Hodu. If you do it out loud, Nira Kitchtei Toros, and it's going to create machlokas, says Reb Moshe, I'm not sure. But if you're going to say it quietly, then you can be mekel, even if you're saying it differently to yourself. He has two more tshuvos here in source 14.
Yeah, it's from the words, but how about the accent?
The accent also.
You're supposed to follow the accent of the...
No. The accent is going to be hard to change, much harder to change. Source 14, the Reb Moshe says, what's called things you say out loud that you have to conform to the tzibur? Then here Reb Moshe takes a very strict view, which is everything other than the Amida. So if you're davening among the Ashkenazim, you should use an Ashkenazi sitter. You can use a Nusach Sfard or a Sfardi sitter for the Amida. But everything other than the Amida is called Kol Ram, and therefore you should conform to the Tzibur. And then he has one more tshuva here. Ha'isr bebeis ha'kenes ha'achas le'izin inshi l'shamas v'minag makom b'dvar manikarim ika shnei yisurim chadam ilos eskodudu v'hum yida oraisa. He says it's very strict. You have to be very careful los eskodudu. And then he starts to get into more halachas, which we'll mention in a moment, like wearing tefillin. I'll give you another example. I don't remember if Reb Moshe says this explicitly or I heard it in his name, but you have people who have the minhag of ending Marav at Hashkivenu. They don't say Baruch Hashem Liolam. And when they daven for the Tzibur, what they do is they just begin Kaddish. They say, Shomer Yisrael Ad, they're quiet, they get a feeling from somewhere near them that it's time to continue, and they don't end Baruch Hashem Liolam, they just say Kaddish. It's a problem. It's wrong. The minhag of the Tzibur is to say Baruch Hashem Liolam, and you're leading the Amud, you shouldn't just sit quietly. You should say the bracha together with the tzibur. To not do so is certainly, it's a davar, ein koram gedolo mizu, you're the shliach tzibur. And the tzibur has a minug to say that bracha out loud, you should say that bracha out loud as well. Rav Sternbach has an interesting observation, source 15. In his Shubas van Hagos, Rav Moshe Sternbach says the following. V'dan, no. Shiladati achrei achurban hanora bizmanenu shenis arvu asridim. That after the horrific Holocaust, in which in our time, the remnant, the survivors of the Holocaust, became all intermingled. Everyone Kach gam b'shtibel u'beis tefila shuk b'shakol shliach tzibur yispal ha'kfi minago v'ein riv rak sh'iskimu sh'zeu ha'minag shama b'chai gavna ein chashash shalos eskodudu b'shliach tzibur v'akol yanu k'fi minag ha'shliach tzibur u'kfi minhagam v'ein b'ze iser. Says Rav Sturmbach, a big chiddush, but on the other hand, an obvious chiddush, which is, when did all of this apply? When you had communities that very clearly had long-established minhagim. So Germany had the Yekesha minhagim, very established minhagim. And Hungary had its established minhagim. And each country and each land and each shtibel and its shul had its established minhagim. Today, maybe the only community in the world, in America left like that is?
Elizabeth,
New Jersey. And even that, but there's minhagim, Breuers is very strong. If you were in Breuers, and you tried to say Kaddish, and you weren't the person designated to say Kaddish, they have the old minhag one at a time. Not everybody who's a mourner says Kaddish. It happened to you. Yeah, you will get, they'll shake you down there.
You say Kaddish,
you have to put a hat, or you have to wear a talus. Because you're the Shliach Tzibur, don't put the talus over your head. Okay, so two communities, Breuers and Elizabeth. Says of Sturmbach, outside of Breuers and Elizabeth, he doesn't name the two cities, but we are, where all of our shuls are essentially big cholin pots. Walk into any shul, almost every shul, and you'll see, one's putting on the tefillin and they're rolling it out, the other's putting on the tefillin and they're rolling it in, one is davening the sfar, one is davening Ashkenaz, one is saying, Elokaini, Elokeinu, Eloikeinu, everybody's doing it differently. We live in a big cholin pot. So Rav Sturmbach, therefore, is matir, that you can have a shul whose minhag is dealer's choice. And my brother's shul in Alon Shvut, where Rav Rimon, great posek, a big Talmud Chacham, is the Rav, they have a sign over the shtender of the Shliach Tzibur. One side of the sign says Nusach Ashkenaz, and then you flip the sign over, it says Nusach Sfard. Whoever takes the Amud has the sign, flips the sign the direction he's going to lead the davening, and it's dealer's choice. Dealer's choice within one shul, one minyan room? Yeah, says Rav Sturmbach. Today, we no longer have the application of this din in this way because we are one big chalant, and therefore whoever's leading the davening is entitled to set what the nusach is. Rav Zilberstein...
You don't say that applies every place. It applies only if a shtibu had established...
It applies to a place where they've all accepted that there's no one minhag. But to walk into Breuers... Correct. Correct. No, right. Agreed.
Shalim in a shtibler. Shalim, same thing.
Right. Chashuk Echemer of Zilberstein, source 16. Maisa Shai Beshkuna Chadasha Shanozda Vahaya Ba'an Nashim Me'idus Shonos. There was a new city established, and there were people from different backgrounds. They didn't have enough to divide into separate minyanim. So a new yeshuv, a new moshav, a new settlement in Israel, and you have a total of 22 people. Temani, Morocco, Persian, Polish, Hungarian, yeah, from all over. Each of the 22 is from another geographical place on earth with its own nusach. How should they establish what's the minhag makom? Rav Ashkuna Hinek Shizpalu Kom Minyan Tefila B'Nusach Acher. So he said, let's do a rotation. Marv will be Sephardic. Shachris will be Ashkenaz. Musav will be Temani. When a person found out about it, he thought it was terrible. He thought it was a big problem. So skip down. So he paskins Rav Zilberstein imkein yitochin shagodol arishon sover shemikeven shati yishkan rak minyan echad bishkun azu arish yishkashah shalos is go to do imkehila achas tanig nusach shona b'chol tefila midach harav asheni tefilei shekom ha-shekulim mispalim b'yachar u'inyan akroi u'kshiyar b'mispalim mikol eida hem yispard v'yakimu minyan nifrad u'zeh ein chashah shalos is go to do. So the one who thought it was a problem said ein los is go to do gedol mizu. You have one shul, one community, one minyan, and they're going to be every tefillah, different nusach, los is go to do. Looks like so many Torahs. And the other one said, no. The only reason they're doing that is not to create a minion of Mishka Bibel. It's a mixed minion. Until they have 10 and 10 and 10 and 10, so each could have their own minion, this is what they have to do. And in such a circumstance, it wouldn't be a problem of los is go to do. So another tshuva of Zilberstein, a little bit humorous, that's why I included it. But he has the following case. Mispalal zar shegila beis hakinesis. A visitor davened in shul v'yarlof ne'atev ispalal b'nusach shonu me'anog b'osu beis hakinesis. He didn't know. So someone gets up at BRS in a Nusach Ashkenaz minyan and starts davening Nusach Ari. So they're all calling out to him. He keeps saying V'yatzmach Perkane, and they keep saying Nu Nu Nu, and he doesn't answer. So Echad Mispalim Kas Mod, one of them got very upset. So what did he do? Milei Dali Mayim V'Shafach Al Shliach Tzibur. The only way he was going to get the Shliach Tzibur's attention to stop butchering their Nusach, he picked up a cup of water and he poured it over his head. Hadavraya B'Mos Achoref. It was the winter. V'Shliach Tzibur Yatzim Beis Hakinesis B'Tzaru B'Busha. Shliach Tzibur left cold and in pain and embarrassed. Madina Shalom Mazik, Madina Shlech Tzibur. What is the halach of the Shlech Tzibur? What is the status of the Mazik? I said it's what Rav Shechter would call a humorous tshuva. It's a humorous tshuva. I'm not sure it's a halachic inyan. But again, he gets into this issue of losis kodudu and holding accountable. Even if it is a violation of losis kodudu, person's not entitled to embarrass or cause pain to the other person. All the poskim we've mentioned until now heretofore are Ashkenazi poskim. But in Shut Or LeTzion, Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, source 18. It was the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva Porat Yosef, a great Sephardic Talmid Chacham and Posek. Source 18, in his Tshuvot, says the following, a little bit different. Hamispal b'tzibur shelo regilin klal ba'anachas shnei zugos tefillin lo yanicham yachad b'shem chshash lo sisko dudu. If you're davening in a community where people don't wear two pairs of tefillin, then don't do it. Losis go to Yaniach Tfilin de Rabbeinu Tam Abeso. Put one of the pair on at home. Mishenu Menicham Yachad Yaniach Tfilin de Rabbeinu Tam Lachar Kaddish Gabba Shachar Uval Tzion and so on. So there are some, you've seen some Sfarim who have a custom with very tiny little pairs of tefillin. They wear one behind another Shalrosh and two on the arm. Cover one of them with a yarmulke. So he says, if you're davening among those who don't have that custom, don't wear both at the same time. It's a problem of losis go to do. Minag b'nei Sfar Kedas Harisha Inom Dim Bekaddish Uborchu. The minhag of Sfardim is like the Ari. For Ashkenazim, this is grossly uncomfortable. If you've ever davened among Sfardim, and you get to Kaddish and Baruch Hu, and nobody stands, you feel like, how could I sit for Kaddish? What am I doing? We don't sit for Kaddish. But they do. Elam kenei omdim mitchilas haKaddish mamshichan lamun. So if there's a place where you're standing already, you don't sit for Kaddish. But if you were sitting, you don't have to stand for Kaddish. That is the practice of Sfardim, based on the Arizal. So what happens if you find yourself a Sfardi davening among Ashkenazim who stand for all Kaddishes, must you stand for Kaddish? Im nintza b'mokam sh'atzibar nogen lamod, yamod gam hu mechshash eselosis godudu. V'ulam im yesh b'tzibar zeh miktas anashim sh'yoshvim, k'gun zikeinu mechadome, ein tzarech lamod kemen sh'enu nikar sh'yish kam machlokas m'yesh lamod b'kaddish. If there are some infirm people who are sitting for Kaddish, even Ashkenazim, because it's hard for them to stand, then a Sfardi could sit because they're already not the only ones sitting. But otherwise, they should stand because they shouldn't look like they stand out. What about davening? Yesh achronim shekosu sheben svarim espalei to bnei Ashkenaz v'chein hapach tzarich l'espalei fi nusach hamakom. Some say you have to conform to the nusach of where you're davening. We saw that in Rav Moshe. He says, however, this depends on the big machlokas Rambam and Rosh. Skip to the next paragraph. V'nei yadua sheminig bnei svarad leilich tamir achar piskei Rambam im kein ein levnei svarad k'yachon zeh mishum losis kodidu v'lachein. So Paskins Rav Ben Sion Abba Shaul, if a Sfardi is davening among Ashkenazim, sit when they sit, stand when they stand, but when it comes to Kaddish, say your own Kaddish. Unless they're going to get so angry at you, Mipnei Darchei Shalom, leave out V'yatzmach Porkane. But otherwise, Kaddish is so important to say the correct Kaddish that you should still say the correct Kaddish. Okay, so application number one of Losis Kodudu was davening, issues of davening, nusach of davening. Right. No, later at the end. Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's
only a minigun.
That's
true.
You should say what the.
So he's talking about
Yatsma Forkani.
If he conforms. Yeah, if he conforms. If he conforms, yes. Okay, that was all application number one. Application number two is tefillin on Chol HaMoed. What happens? We actually gave a shiur this year on Erev Pesach about tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Where do the different minhagim come from? Is it more chol? Is it more moed? Is there os? What is the os? We gave a whole shir about that. So the Mishnah Berurah says, if you look at the third to last line, the middle of the paragraph, Prima Gadim. Od kasvu achronim, ein nachon shebeis hakinesis achas, ketasam yanichu tefillin, ketasam lo yanichu, mishum, losis godadu. Says Rav Moshe, and there are many communities that have this practice, those who put on tefillin and go sit in the Ezra's Nashim, or they're told put your tefillin on at home and then come to shul. There are communities that follow this Mishnah Berurah who says, if you're going to have one shul where some are wearing tefillin achol hamoed, some are not wearing tefillin achol hamoed, it's a problem of lo sisko to do, and you shouldn't do that. Rav Avad Yosef, by the way, disagrees. He says, on an issue where it's yadua, that there's chiluke deus, there's no prohibition of lo sisko to do. On an issue we know that there's different opinions and different practices, it's not a problem, even in one minyan, in the way that our minyan have become established today. What about an Erev? Application number three. Let's say you want to be machmir or not hold of the Erev. You want to be a big knacker. Are you potentially violating Lissus Kodadu? So the Ungvar Rav, Rav Menashe HaKotten Klein, in his Mishnah Halacha, source 20, has a tshuva of exactly this. If you make an Erev, and you're so holy that you won't hold of it, are you being holy in one way by not holding of the Erev? Maybe it's a chumr she'asilu dekula. You're being a machmir, not to hold of the Erev, but at the expense of violating an issa d'oraisa of lo siskodu. So he says the following, Adavar she'ilasal in Erev, yishayach issa lo siskodu, b'hora lo shayach lo siskodu, abadavar nimsa b'yad ha'mon, sh'alu, she'elu yasu kach ve'elu yasu kach shayach lo siskodu. So he says the following, Lufiza be'erev nami yimya osir afla makil and tato betocha erev ne elu nogin ka osrim he ne bedavar shevi atase lekalos is go to do. His conclusion is not holding of the erev is passive. You can only violate los is go to do if you're doing something which is active. By not holding of the erev, maybe you had nothing to carry. Who knows? You're holding it now. If you ask someone else to be your Shabbos go and carry for you, it's not so passive anymore. But assuming you're not holding of the erev in a passive way. So passively, you cannot violate, he says, lo sisko to do. That's his conclusion. Application number four, standing for Kriyas HaTorah. There's a minhag based on the Maharam in Rutenberg to stand for Kriyas HaTorah, emulate, the Rosh quotes the Maharam, just like Har Sinai, the Torah was given, that we stood, so too for Kriyas HaTorah. So what happens in a shul? Some stand and some sit. What should you do? B'davar sveikasu beis hakinesa shkulam omdim b'Kriyas HaTorah ve'echad yoshev. You have a shul, everyone's wearing a hat, one's wearing a kippah. Everyone stands for Kriyas HaTorah. This person who's minhag is to sit, wants to sit. The left column on the bottom of page 11. Still back, still in the Mishnah Halachos. He says, in such a case, there is no los is go to do. They'll say that his legs hurt, that's why he's sitting. He can't wear a hat, it gives him a headache. So anytime someone can see that what you're doing for another reason, not because of halacha, so then you're not in violation of lo sisko to do, and that is his conclusion. If some are standing and some are sitting for Kriyas HaTorah, that's not a problem. Rav Moshe seems to disagree. Rav Moshe sounds like he would hold, it depends. If you have a community where elu ve'elu, some stand, some sit, so that's like Rav Sternbach's chalon. But if you have a community that has a set established minhag, when my brother-in-law, who grew up in the Upper West Side of Manhattan, and his family was were pillars of the Jewish Center in Manhattan, at his Ofruf, I had just come back from my second year in Israel. I was a pretty zealous phase of my life. I still stand for Kriyas HaTorah today. I've kept that practice. So I was standing for Kriyas HaTorah, and the minhag in the Jewish Center was to sit. And the Rav had the Gabbai come over to me and ask me to please sit. Which at the time, it just shows how the danger of thinking you know a little something. I knew the Maharam in Rutenberg. I thought I was such a holy roller. What a chutzpah asking me to sit. I want to keep the Maharam in Rutenberg. The Rambam Shulchan Aruch quotes that it's a good minhag. It's a minhag tov to keep the Maharam in Rutenberg. But I was keeping a minhag at the expense of a din d'oraisa, lo sisko to do. If a whole shul has a set minhag, everyone there sits. So to stand and to stand out, quite literally, is a biblical prohibition of lo sisko to do.
You won't be the Haturas Nedar in such a case?
What?
You won't be
the
Haturas Nedar in such a case?
I wouldn't what?
Haturas
Nedar. No, not to avoid Los is good to do in that moment.
No, to sit. If your minig is to stand.
If I want to start sitting from now on, even if I'm in a place where the minhag is to stand. But there, what am I? I'm going to do a tars and dharma in the middle of Kriyas Torah? I'm going to miss Kriyas Torah? What are my options? What are the options? Application number five. What about tachanun? Should you say tachanun if you're davening in a minyan where they're omitting tachanun, but they should be saying it? When I go to New York in the summer, I daven with my shver at a minyan. They never met tachanun in their lives. They wouldn't know what tachanun was. Every day is someone's yurtzeit, or some have a nusach sfard where they go right in. They've never said tachanun. There is no tachanun. The only day they say tachanun, Yom Atzmut. That's the only day. They never heard of tachanun. Every single day, you shouldn't, not this place personally, but there are places, they never heard of a tachanun in their life. They never, ever, ever say tachanun. One day, Yom Atzmut, they have to say tachanun. Anyway, so should you say tachanun? So back to the Rav Ben Zion Abba Shaul in his Tshuvot Or Letzion. He writes the following, not about tachanun, but what does a Sfaradi do? You ever notice Sfaradim? They say vidui and yud gimel midos. Shavna bagad nu gazal nusach Sfarad also. So if you're a nusach Sfarad and you're davening among Ashkenazim, should you start clapping your chest? People will think you're having a heart attack. Chas v'shalom. He says v'lachein tov l'mishin is davening l'tzibur she'ina mamun vidui v'yud gimel midos she'yomram b'tzina u'belo haka al halev. He has a very interesting compromise opinion. Say them. You're saying it quietly, like Rav Moshe. Anything you're saying quietly, you're entitled to do. But don't clap your chest for the Hashem, the Bagadnu, because that draws attention. That's a problem of losis go to do. The Shevet Alevi of Vosner, source 22, says, L'tzarenu harbe mezalzalim b'amiras tachanun. Many people, they make a joke at a tachanun. V'im l'fi ha'alocha tzarech l'agit tachanun, yirkadas ha'gedolim, te'en b'zeh klal losis go to do. So if you've determined you should be saying tachanun, there's no reason to be omitting it. And this minyan happens to be omitting it because every day they omit it, you should say tachanun and don't worry about losis go to do. Sounds like fall on your arm, do nefilas apayim, and you're doing the right thing. So when you're doing the right thing and the alternative is not legitimate, then there's no problem of losis go to do, says the Shevet Halevi. Okay. Next example, number six, yibum. Why is yibum an example? I mentioned this recently in the context of another shir. I don't remember what the shir was.
That's already an issue.
Oh, but there's a long tshuva here in Yabia Omer of Avadia Yosef. That's our source 23. We have already Mizmana Gemara. We have a practice that if a man dies with no children and he has a surviving brother, his wife has a zika, a bond to her brother-in-law, which either has to be realized through yibum or severed through chalitza. Either one. Midaraisa, yibum or severed through chalitza. In order to do yibum, the union between the two of them has to be lishma. It has to be for the right reasons. It can't be because there's a physical attraction or draw. It can't be because it has to be lishma. So the Gemara says already that we did this with Yeridus Adoros last week, Yeridus Adoros. So the Gemara already says, we've lost the capacity to have such confidence that it's lishma, we no longer do yibum, we do chalitza. So I mentioned to you this Rav Avadia last week. So comes along Rav Avadia and he says, yeah, that's nice, we. We, that's the minhag of the Ashkenazim. But if you look at the end of the first paragraph, on the right-hand column, v'hine anu asfaradim, edut ha-mizrach, v'teman, kibalnu aleinu horot raboseinu ha-rambam u'morana shulchan aruch, shesovrim shalocha kechachamim, shemitzvah yibam kodemis l'chalitza, af bezman hazeh, she'en misgavim l'shem mitzvah. That even today, when we have trouble doing it l'shma, he says, we follow the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch that Yibum still comes first. So should we agree to what became the law of the land in Israel, the Rabbanut accepted to not do Yibum? So Rav Avadia's whole mission was lachzir atara liyoshna, to put the crown of glory back on the Sephardic practice and to revive it with a sense of dignity and honor. Maybe we should fight for our custom of the right to do Yibum and not just to concede that we no longer do Yibum, you have to do Chalitza. So in this context, it gets into in the middle column. V'nei gam b'mekom ha'sheyishbat din kavuam shel Ashkenazim kevan she'eretz Yisrael asra d'harambam u'moran ein lanu lazuz midivrem yamin u'smol. He says, even Eretz Yisrael is kavua, has a Beis Din kavua of Ashkenazim, but you know who's really in charge of Eretz Yisrael? Who's the Mor Das of Eretz Yisrael? The Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, who both live there. And they are the authority for Sfardim. Sharei b'chol inyan yisr v'heter on an organ b'eretz Yisrael ko raz maran shalokim minag ashkenaz hamiyusar api divrei haramah. The Ramah lived in Krakow. The Ramah was all the way in Krakow, Poland. The Ramah should dictate the terms for Eretz Yisrael with the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch with the Marda Asra. L'shai b'zeh lo sisko to do. And this is not a question of lo sisko to do. And therefore he concludes that the Svardim have a right to advocate for their position, and it's not a problem of lo sisko to do. Yes. Similarly, yeah, we've given shir on that too.
But most Ashkenazi shuls, despite the Ramad.
Correct, even among the Ashkenazim, the Brisker say it, Nesef Sfarad says it.
And there's people.
Correct. It's a similar application, absolutely. Okay, application number 7. Yechavadas, Rav Avadya Yosef, source number 24. Rav Avadya has the following question. Mitalmidei Yeshivas Chevron, Mibnei Edut HaMizrach. You add students of Chevron Yeshiva, Sephardic students, who had the following question. Shulchan Aruch paskins that you only don't get a haircut in the Shavuot Shechalbo. So the Sephardim want to know, do we have to not take a haircut or shave all 3 weeks? We're in an Ashkenazi yeshiva. Most of the Talmidim here are Ashkenazi. Must we conform to the Ashkenazi practice of not taking a haircut or shaving all 3 weeks? Or can we follow the Sephardi practice of only stopping taking a haircut later? Is it a problem of lo sisko to do? And Rav Avadya paskins, not a problem of lo sisko to do. Not a problem. Skip to the conclusion. B'sikum, muter min adin levne edus ha-mizrach le-stapir b'me min ha-tzorem, af pish lomdem yeshiva shirov tamidem ne edus ha-ashkenaz, if they want to stop, they can. They should have a bracha for wanting to fit in, but they're not obligated to. Yeah, the Rav Avadya obviously was very driven by defending the Sephardi practices and the Sephardim's right to their practices, even in an Ashkenazi world, and therefore he says it's not a problem of lo sisko to do. Example number 8.
Rabbi,
Tchelas.
Can we put more emphasis on the customs of Judaism rather than on what Judaism really is?
Well, this is... They go together. They go together. Source 25, Rav Sternbach about Tchelas has the following. Big discussion of modern day Tchelas. Is it accurate? Is it not accurate? Should we be wearing it? So he's quoting the first Tchelas of the Radziner Rebbe. And then he gets to the paragraph on the left. He goes so far as to say that since we, the yeshiva community, have not embraced the new tcheles, if you wear those tcheles in our community, you are potentially violating lo sisko tzu. Very interesting. And the ninth application I'll give you, is Yontif Sheni. I just got an email with this question today. One of the wonderful young students from our community who's learning in Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Schechter is a very interesting psak. And I always quote this in his name. This is not my psak. It's in his name. Before this Pesach, I was consulted regarding two interesting cases. In the first case, a family was visiting Eretz Yisrael for Yontif. The daughter of a student at Columbia had previously studied in one of the seminaries in Eretz Yisrael after high school and was taught there, and according to the classical traditional view, on visiting Eretz Yisrael, should observe 2 days of Yontif. Just a few months before Pesach, the father asked his local Orthodox Musmach from down the block, to whom he asks all of the Shilas, and was told that his family should only observe 1 day. Question posed was, does it make sense that half the family observe 1 day and the other half 2 days? My thought on the matter were as follows. Talmud records there were many disputes between Beisil and Beishamai. Whoever was a follower of Beisil and Shammai had to abide by their opinions. Whoever was a follower of Beisil had to abide by theirs. But this is only provided they are together with their own group. If one from Beisil was with a group of followers of Beishamai, he was not allowed to follow the views of Beisil. This would be a violation of Losis Godudu, causing it to appear in a very noticeable fashion, as if the Torah had been split into two Torahs. Since the family was spending the Yontif together, and the majority of the members of the family had accepted the psak of their local rabbi, even the daughter should follow that opinion on this occasion and only keep one day. On some other occasion, if the daughter should happen to visit Eretz Yisrael again for Yom Tov without the rest of the family, she ought to follow the psak of her rabbi and keep 2 days. So if Schechter applies this in a very modern way, which also is an interesting application because it means you're not going to be consistent within your own observance of Yom Tov, but it means when you're with the family in order to avoid Lo Sisko to do, 1 day. When you're not with the family, follow your individual psak of 1 day. All right, we saw Lo Sisko to do, a very important halacha.